Freedom is my core value, and I stand for it passionately. Today, we're celebrating an extraordinary milestone with an even more extraordinary woman, Abigail Rebecca, also known as the Visibility Goddess. As she turns 50 today, Abigail brings with her a tale of courage, transformation, and relentless pursuit of freedom. From breaking free of a cult at just 16 to conquering corporate burnout and a heart condition, her life is a testament to the power of authenticity and resilience. Abigail now stands as a beacon for women everywhere, a mentor and international speaker who champions the Aquarian age of femme leadership. So get ready as we explore her riveting journey and discover how to harness our own inner goddess of visibility and strength. Hello, 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 and welcome to 52 Weeks of Flow, the podcast that delves into the depth of human potential and the transformative power of flow. On this show, we talk about peak performance, flow, energy, and bridge the gap between science and woo-woo. Through authentic stories and real-life examples, my guests and I will help you dive into your superpowers and create your next level of success. My name is Bea Marie Amin, neuroscience geek, flow enthusiast, and your guide to rewilding yourself. I'm on a mission to raise the frequency of the planet by supporting you to untame yourself and step into your flow. And today I have a beautiful guest. She and I have been in each other's lives for about a year now. And other than, you know, other online friendships, we have actually met in person, and she is
as amazing as I imagined her to be.
So after a year of, you know, being in each other's orbits, she's finally here on this podcast on 52 Weeks of Flow, and I cannot wait for you to get to know her and her story and her beautiful energy. So welcome to the stage, Abigail Rebecca.
Hi, Bea. Thank you so much for having me. We were talking before. I can't believe it's been nearly a year. And I'm so glad that I got to meet you, and you are just as amazing in the flesh as well. So it's great to do this.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And also thank you for taking the time to be here. So in the intro, we talked, or I presented a little bit about, you know, your background, where you came from. And for some people, you know, this might be completely like, how is this happening? How did you, as first of all, you know, end up in a cult? And second of all, how did you get out of it? Like we said, there was a pivotal moment where you decided, but what were the moments?
Yeah, no, I'd love to share. Sometimes I share my story and I just think, oh my goodness, did that actually happen to me? Because it now when I look back on it, it feels really big, like a big, scary decision. But actually at the time, it wasn't. And I'll be completely honest with you, it wasn't. I just wanted to leave. And I was excited to leave because it meant freedom. But how I ended up in it is that I was born into it. I mean, I was third generation. My mother had been brought into it. My grandmother had gone in, I think probably about 5 years before she gave birth to my mother. All of my family, every single one of my family members, apart from one grandfather, was in it. So the conditioning ran deep. And on top of all of that, I also had a very controlling father who, you know, had the best intentions for me and really loved me. And I had a lot of love from my family. There's no denying that. They were doing what they thought was best for me, but very, very strict. I was told what to wear, who I could be friends with. I wasn't allowed to have an opinion. I think that was the biggest thing. I wasn't allowed to have an opinion. And I didn't believe it. Really, I was challenged things a lot ever since I was little, and I felt like it was almost like they were trying to tame me. because I had these thoughts and opinions. I was very different to my siblings, who are a lot older than me. And it was squashed. It was, you know, the water was thrown on the fire, and they were trying to kind of control me in a way that, you know, it was frowned upon, and you can't have an opinion. You're not allowed to say these things. So I was under that kind of very strict control until about got to about 16. When I was about 14, I started to rebel a little bit more, like we all do, right? And then when I was 16, I had the opportunity to leave, because then I was actually allowed to leave. And I had to make that decision. Was I going to stay, and was I going to marry into that organization? And was that the life that I was going to live? And, you know, bearing in mind, I'd been raised to be submissive to men and to be a good wife and a good mother. That's how I'd been raised. So was I going to stay in that organization, or was I going to leave and choose freedom? And I left. I chose freedom. And that is my number one value. Every decision that I make today is aligned to freedom. And I also not only stand for freedom for myself, but the freedom for every single woman in this world. I mean, obviously, the freedom of all humanity, of course, but in particularly women. I feel that I can never be totally free until we're all free. So that's why I do the work that I do. And I went and had a great time. I mean, I traveled the world for the next 10 years. I had the most amazing experiences. I traveled a lot. I used to live in different countries every 6 months, had the most amazing experiences that really opened my mind to the world and, you know, to the diversity of the world. And it was the best education I could ever have. And then when I was in my early 30s, I came back to the UK and I started a corporate career because I felt that that's what I had to do. I was like 10 years behind all of my friends. And in order for me to, you know, have an abundant life, then I needed to be a senior leader in corporate, which I actually did, but it just didn't feel aligned. And all the way through my life, there's always been like this circle of self-doubt. It's like, who am I? Really doubting myself. I don't know who I am. I don't know what my identity is. I didn't know what my identity was as a child. When I was traveling, even then, I didn't really know what my identity was, and certainly in corporate. So then when I started my business about 8 years ago, and, you know, I always say that our business is the best personal development program you can ever invest in, because it brings up all our shit. That when I then started to be like, okay, I need to put myself forward, I need to promote myself, I need to step into my leadership, then a lot of the trauma started to show up that I'd had with as a child. And again, like, looking at my identity, I didn't know who I was. Who am I? So then I started copying everyone else. I started looking at other women that were successful, that had what I had wanted, and I started to copy them, and it just didn't feel authentic. It didn't feel aligned. And then I discovered human design. And for me personally, that was the big aha moment within my life. And that's why I incorporate it into my business and do what I do today.
Beautiful. And when you said you felt tamed, like this word, it just, I mean, you had that for almost 16 years. Mm-hmm. I was in that situation only 3 months of my life. And I can feel how you must have felt, because being tamed, or being, you know, led into a cage, or being raised in a cage, is, it goes against everything in our bodies. Like every fiber of your being, if you're raised in it, or if you're led into it, or if you're pushed into it, every fiber of your being screams, no, this is not right. This, even if you comply, even if you go with it, there's this thing inside of you, this wildness inside of you that screams. So I would love to go back to that point, because yeah. You described it, you know, as you realize that this was not for you. So, and you rebelled when you were like 14. What did that look like? Because I'm asking this because a lot of women probably have this inner knowing, or this inner feeling of something is not right. And how do we go about it? How do we grab this? How do we make this, I don't know what it is, but it's not right, tangible for us?
I as far as early as I remember, it didn't feel right. Even when I was a very, very young child, something didn't feel right. And that's why I used to question it a lot. I remember every excuse in the book, trying to get out from going on the door-to-door ministry, door knocking, or going to the church. We used to have to go to church 3 times a week. We were studying the Bible every single night. We were going door knocking. And it didn't feel right. But there was a huge amount, you know, there was a huge amount of deep conditioning and a lot of fear that was holding me back from really going there. And I was a child. This was my family. I loved them. They loved me. But I never quite believed it. But I did believe the fear. So I believed that if I ever left or ever did anything displease the elders in the congregation or God or anything like that, then I would not only be cast out from my family and they would never speak to me again. And the people that happened to were made big examples of. So that really fed into the fear. Or I would die in the end of the world. And it was scary, 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 scary. I remember when I was little, I used to have nightmares. My feet used to get tied up in bed sheets. And I used to get really, really scared because I was so worried about, you know, the world ending. So there was a lot of fear, you know. Unfortunately, like a lot of organized religion, there's a lot of fear that is there to keep people in their place. And then as I got older, I started to have more of a, I guess, like a sense of myself, a bit more independence. I was still going to mainstream school. So I did have school friends, even though I wasn't allowed to be friends with them outside of school. So I could only see them in school, but I started to see what they were doing and their independence. And I wanted that. I wanted that for myself. And then that need to be free just overrode all of the fear. And yeah, I mean, it was a really difficult time when I started to rebel and started to say no. But, you know, what could they do? They're not going to. Luckily for me, I wasn't in a situation where people were like physically forcing me into doing something. So I just had to be really courageous and stand my ground and really stand for what I wanted to represent and the life that I wanted. But I truly believe that I chose to be born into that family. I put a post on social media the other day about, you know, the fact that it's funny that the things that I do now, how I represent myself and the work that I do with my clients, you know, it's about freedom. It's about self-expression. It's about confidence. It's about really going out there and being seen and being visible. And the fact that I chose to be born into this situation where I was dumbed down and toned down and told to be quiet and told to be a good girl. And that I needed to behave myself, otherwise these horrendous things would happen to me. I chose to be born into that. And I truly believe that that experience then adds to my gifts and, you know, my ability to be able to lead women through a process where, you know, their fears around being visible, being authentically expressed, having a message and going out into the world and expressing it. I feel that that all adds to the work that I'm doing now. So actually, I'm incredibly grateful about being brought up in that way. I really am, because it's added such an incredible dimension to my life that I wouldn't have had if I didn't have that experience.
And the fact that you believe that you're great, that you were born into that, yes, family for a reason. You know, this is exactly what I believe too. I believe our soul, we choose where to go because we need to make certain experiences to express ourselves or to fulfill our purpose, our yeah, what we want to create in this world. So we need certain experiences for that. So you said you found human design, or human design found you, or, you know, that was just one marker on your path. For everybody who has been on this podcast with me for a while now, you might have heard the term human design before, but maybe Abigail, please explain that again for the newbies here.
Yeah, so it's a combination of like a spiritual and logical system. It basically gives you a blueprint of your aura, of your personality. For those of you maybe with a corporate background, you might have heard of Myers-Briggs or similar personality tests. So imagine if Myers-Briggs and astrology became lovers and had a love child, that would be human design. So it's based on different methodologies, incredible methodologies, actually, Eastern and Western astrology, quantum physics, the Hindu chakra system, I Ching, which is an incredible Chinese teaching, ancient teaching, and also the Jewish Kabbalah. And it gives you a blueprint of your aura, where everything is energy, where we are energy. So it teaches us about our energy, how we energetically received by others, how we receive them. So then in turn, it teaches us how to build relationships, how to create opportunities, how to align that with, you know, law of attraction and bringing the abundance into our lives. But most importantly, it really teaches us about us. And this identity crisis that I feel that I've had throughout my life, where I've tried to kind of mold myself and to fit into other people's ideas of who I should be, to either be successful within corporate or be the popular girl at school, or to be the, you know, the good little girl at home, or the party girl when I was traveling. Human design really helped me to identify myself and to accept myself, all of my imperfections and all of the things that actually I've tried to cover and hide because I thought maybe I'd be judged or ridiculed because of that. And once you can do that, once you can really embrace every part of yourself and value yourself in that way, once you value yourself, the whole world values you. So you can really show up in your true, empowered, authentic self. It's the ultimate journey to self-love. And I just love human design so much. And again, I'm so grateful to have it in my life and also to be able to share it with the wonderful women that I work with.
I love how you speak with so much gratitude and so much selflessness about your experiences, about your story, about human design. I just love listening to you. So when somebody, you know, dives into human design, how can they, I ask a lot of how questions, but this, you know, when we listen to podcasts, when we listen to experts like you, we just want to do, okay, how do I do this? How do I get there? How? So when I dive into my human design, when I know what my human design profile is, how do I then use it actually? Because, you know, we know a lot of things, but how do we embody that?
It's about experiencing it. I always say that human design is a giant experimentation. So if we look, I talk about Aquarian age leadership a lot, you know, the fact that we're living now in the Aquarian age, we entered into the Aquarian age in 2012. We've come out of this Piscean age that we're in for a good 2000 years, very hierarchical, very patriarchal. And all the information was kept at the top of the tree. And, you know, the leaders would have all the knowledge and we would blindly follow them. We're now moved into this Aquarian system where actually we are our own gurus. So it's about listening to our own inner wisdom. And that's one thing that I really love about human design. It helps us, teaches us to drop out of our heads where the fear and the monkey brain chatter is and actually start to make decisions with our bodies. And you learn through experiencing that. So it's a huge fun experimentation. And certainly within the Aquarian age, I talk a lot about the fact that we don't learn like the old way, the traditional way. We learn by experiencing things. I can't fully learn something until I've experienced it, and then I can express it, then I get it. And it's the same with human design. So I would say with human design, first of all, if you don't know what your human design is, you can go onto any human design website and download it for free. You can go over to my website, for example, abigailrebecca.com, and download your human design for free. And the link will be below that will take you there. And then you can either, you know, reach out to me or another human design expert for a reading, or start to go and investigate it yourself. There's lots of information out there, lots that you can go and look at. Just be careful where the source is from. That's all I can say. And then once you understand the different elements of human design, you can go out and practice it. And I always say to my clients, I don't believe a word that I say when it comes to human design. Don't believe the word that I say. Go out and practice it and just see how life shows up for you differently. So for me, that's the best way to learn about human design, is just to jump in, open your heart, open your mind to it, and just look at doing things in a different way, and then start to see the ease and flow. Because human design helps us to stop trying to push and cajole and trying too hard, and it really allows us to come back into our energy and very much connect with our divine feminine energy, which is about the receiving. So receiving all the opportunities, the abundance, without feeling like you're working too hard and things are too difficult.
You touched on two really, really important points there. One, receiving, and the other one is how you go out and people receive you. Because am I correct, we're like 60% or 50% of human, what are we? Human people. We're people. Like 50% of humans are generators, and their mechanism is to respond, right?
Yeah, so 70% of the population are generators or manifesting generators. They have the same strategy. So if you're a generator, manifesting generator, your strategy within human design is to respond to things instead of initiating. Actually, only 9% of the population is designed to initiate. And they are amazing manifestors who can go out and light the fires and start the movements. Everyone else within human design, so what does that make it? Like 91% of the population are designed to wait, either for something or someone. Everyone has slightly different strategies, but it's waiting. And with the waiting, you can then start to receive the opportunities. And that is very contradictory to the way that we are raised, especially in leadership, because leadership is about go out there, make things happen, bro, 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 right? And then you wonder why so many people try and be like that, and they're met with resistance, they're met with the brick walls, they burn out, they can't do it, they're hustling. It's because you're not naturally designed to be like that. But, you know, other professionals, I'm sure, will contradict me because they feel the way that you get success is to go out there and make it happen. But I'm like, okay, well, you might get success, but is it sustained success? Anyone can build a seven-figure business, but can you hold the energy of it? This is the long game. It's about creating abundance through the whole of your life and leaving a legacy. And if you want to create abundance that's everlasting and you can leave that legacy, it's really important to start to look at your energy and start to do things that are aligned to that and do not oppose it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you can take action if it's aligned. If you get the clue, if you get the trigger, you know?
Yeah.
Because that just happened to me this morning, actually. Since my not my human design, but my, you know, human programming is like, when I know something, I just want to share it. And there was this this woman in my aerial yoga class, and she was asking something about foot reflexology. And I studied that. And she was asking the teacher, and the teacher wasn't so sure about it, but she was asking the teacher directly. And I was standing there, I was like,
I know it. I know the answer. Oh, I know the answer. I know the answer. But I wasn't asked. I wasn't asked. I wasn't asked.
And then she asked another question. And the teacher, you know, she was in her teaching mode already. So she wasn't, you know, so aware of that. And then I just jumped in. And you could feel the resistance in the room. And I was like, oh, yeah. Why did I say it? Why couldn't I just hold my breath and, you know, just mind my own business?
And yes, because your energy isn't received in that moment, as you're not seen and recognized for that. Yes, it's interesting.
Yeah. And I believe that when you're listening right now and you're feeling like that, that you are not valued, or that your opinion is not valued or not received, then that is probably because, to be really blunt, you have not been asked for it.
Yes, or you're not responding to something.
Yeah.
So human design doesn't teach you to hang around and do nothing. Like, we're, you know, we've got businesses to run and we've got conversations to have and we've got things to be done. But it's like you just said, it's about being recognized and being appreciated and being valued. And when we are not, when we're kind of not aligned to our natural energy and natural tendencies, we're not valued.
Yeah. And there comes the two, I think, most difficult things in our lives to do is waiting and receiving.
Yeah.
And when we say waiting doesn't mean that you don't have to do that you don't do anything, you know, that you do nothing. Waiting is about listening. It's about feeling into yourself and feeling into the world around you and seeing the world around you and looking and seeing the clues that are coming, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, if we're talking specifically about generators and manifesting generators, which I would think that the majority of your audience would be, because it's 70% of the population, the strategy is to wait. So I always say, imagine that you're in a beautiful dance with the universe. So if we think about, you know, traditional ballroom dancing, or let's talk about Argentinian tango, because that's a sexy dance. In the traditional sense, if you were to play the traditional roles within Argentinian tango, the man would lead and the woman would follow. Or let's just say the male energy would lead and the female energy would follow. Anyone can take that role. So as you're moving against that, you know, sexy male energy in an Argentinian tango, you're responding to the body of that person. They're leading and you're responding. So it's the same as, you know, if you were in this beautiful dance with the universe, the universe is leading and you're responding. So it's about really being led by the opportunities and the signs that come in from the universe. And to be able to really respond to that, you do need to wait, because if you're so busy doing, you don't see the signs. And you can go out and you can initiate all day long, but you will get met with resistance and it will feel like you're trying to swim upstream. And this is about really creating ease and flow into your business.
I love that. And we love to talk about flow here. So when we are in alignment with our human design, when we, like as manifesting generators or generators, when we wait and respond, and when we engage in this dance, then we get into this natural flow. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And things then become easier. Opportunities show up, things unfold. How many times have you been in a launch or you've created a project and it's like, oh, things are just so easy. So easy. You know, I've just had that experience from, we were talking about it off camera. I've just had the most beautiful brand photographs taken in Helsinki in Finland. And the whole experience was really easy because I was looking for someone to do it. And it kind of flowed really easily. Like this person, the woman that came and took my photos, just came in. It wasn't difficult to find her. She came in, she invited me in. I'm a projector, so I need to be invited in by people. She invited me into it. And because she invited me into it, we had the most amazing day. We managed to book a makeup artist and hairstylist that's never available because she does freaking Vogue shoots all the time. So we got the most amazing person to come in to, you know, so that I felt beautiful. And these photos were taken. And then in turn, she then introduced me to someone who I've admired for so long to do my personal branding. And it just so happens that she was free, and she's never free. So we've now entered into this gorgeous like relationship, and she's going to be doing my branding. And I just know then that this, all this energy is going to be, is going to translate and permeate.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to go into my business. It's going to go into my business. It's going to go onto my website, onto my new branding. And that in turn will attract the most amazing clients in. It's so easy. And all the money flowed in so easily. So it's like so easily. It's just coming to me. It's done. It's all done. It's all sorted. And that's because I was following my human design strategy to wait to be invited into things.
And there we come again to the difficult parts of life, waiting and receiving. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time when we wait, we wait for a certain thing to happen. But by that, we close ourselves off to receive actually what is meant for us. So do you have a strategy where you, what you could, you know, just as a little thing, like teach us or tell us how we could be more open to receive or be more receptive for whatever comes?
Yes, I always say, universe, bring me this or bring me something even better. So when I'm going out and putting out my wishes to the universe, I am very specific about what it is that I want to bring in, but I also leave myself open to be surprised and delighted by the universe. Because if I'm so fixated on this certain thing, it's like you say, I'm going to miss potentially other things that will be flowing in. So I am very, very open. So yeah, universe, bring me this or bring me something even better. And then I'm not disappointed when I don't get the exact thing that I want. I know that something else is coming in that is even better. And it always is. I always trust the universe, i.e. myself, to be able to attract in the things that I really need. And very often the things that I wanted, when I don't get them, when I look back and reflect, I just think that wouldn't have been a great opportunity for me. She wouldn't have been an amazing client to work with. That wouldn't have been a good trip. So thank you, universe, for protecting me and having my back.
So what do you do to ignite that magnetism in yourself? Because you said, you know, when you put your wishes out, or when you talk to the universe in yourself, you know, to be open, to be receptive, means also that we attract. So what do you do to, yeah, keep that magnetism magnetic?
Yeah. So for me, again, it all comes back to the self-love, self-worth piece. I value myself. I see myself for who I am. And, you know, I spent a long time in my life not really valuing myself, not seeing my worth, a lot of imposter syndrome. So for me, it's really important for me to keep the myself vibrationally high. And look, you know, we live in the real world. We're not freaking fairy Disney princesses swanning around and singing to birds. You know, life gets in the way. So I am also very aware that as a projector, I can often get bitter when I don't feel valued by others and things aren't flowing in that I want to happen. So really, it's very, very important for me to be able to validate myself instead of trying to be, you know, hanging my hat on the validation of other people. So for me personally, how I raise my vibration, my frequency is, you know, I care for myself, I respect myself, I expressed myself through my clothes. When I left corporate, I retrained to be a personal stylist. So a lot of the things that I teach is about how you can magnetize opportunities to you and also really show the ultimate expression of self-love when you dress up. So I love to, you know, wear beautiful clothes and accessories, or successories as I call them. The accessories that bring in success. I love to take bubble baths. I love to go for a walk in nature. I love to hang out with my beautiful partner, my gorgeous dog. I just really am very mindful about where my energy goes, who I hang out with, who I share my energy with. I have very strong boundaries about what I say yes and no to. And it never used to be like that, because I was definitely a people pleaser, and I used to say yes to things because I thought if I said yes to things, then people would, you know, respect me, or people would think, oh, she's a really good worker, or, you know, but now I don't do that. So I really feel like I'm in flow with that. And a lot of that has also come, you know, with the wisdom of my age as well. I'm 50 this year, and I never in a million years, if you'd have asked me in my 20s about, you know, if I was looking forward to being 50, I would have said no. But actually, I'm really looking forward to it. And it's really significant for me as well in human design, because I have a line 6 in my human design. So at 50, I slide off the roof of life and really come into my role model era. And I really feel like I'm owning that now. I'm definitely coming into my role model era. And I'm very, very excited about what that's going to bring.
Ooh, that sounds really exciting. And I'm really, really, really excited to see what else you are creating and doing this year, because it just sounds really amazing. If you want to connect to Abby, then all the links are below this video or in the podcast description. Abby, I have one more last question. Since today is actually your birthday, yeah. So if you could make a wish, and this wish will definitely come true today, what would that be?
Oh my goodness, what a great question. It's got to be to do with freedom, and it's got to be to do with, I think my wish for every woman is to really value themselves and just love themselves for who they are. And when we can do that, that creates true freedom. So that would be my wish.
And I'm sending this out with so much love for whenever you listen to this podcast, because this is the most beautiful energy right now. So thank you so much for being here, Abby. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And that's it. That's it for today. That's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in and staying with us until the end. And if you like what you heard, then please go back and rate and review the show. It would mean the world to me, and be sure that I will read every comment. And if you have any questions or suggestions, then please feel free and reach out at Bea@superwoman.coach. And then let's have a conversation, because I love to know your opinion and what you would like to listen to. Then I can bring on more amazing guests just like Abby, so we can just create a beautiful world filled with magic and flow. And stay tuned for another amazing episode, because next week I'm going to have another freaking incredible guest. Until then, keep shining, keep learning, keep growing, and keep flowing.